What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everyone, no voicemails today, but we do have some emails. If you are wondering why I am doing this, it's because it's ladies' night. So
we're gonna open up
ladies' night with a question from Mike in Seattle. What is the most memorable horror death for you? Tina's death in A Nightmare in Elm Street lives rent-free in my mind. By the way, I love you guys. Thank you, Mike. That was an email. And Zena, you're gonna start.
Okay, cool. Okay, well, thank you so much, Mike, for that awesome question. All right, so I actually broke mine down into different, like, little sections because I wanted to spice it up.
Okay.
So the first one is shocking. I'm going to go with Charlie's death, Hereditary. Also, spoilers. Spoilers!
Whoopsie.
Sorry, yeah, okay. Somebody's probably like, what? I don't know what that sound was, but yeah, okay.
But you know,
when it comes to Ari Aster and his movies, he's always, like, shocking us all the time. So that's what came to mind. And then for something more hilarious, I'm gonna go with John's favorite in his honor, since he's missing in action, and that is Mike falling in the wood chipper on Tuck and Dale vs. Evil.
College kids be offing themselves all over their property. I love it.
Yeah, and it came in close to Trolls too. They're eating her, you know.
Gosh, so many qualifiers in that one. Popcorn gets me.
Oh my god. And then another one, so something that I felt like was creative, I'm gonna go with Candace, her death in Final Destination 5, the gymnast.
That was a good one. That was a real good one.
And then just the last one that lives rent-free in my mind, the opening of Ghost Ship. It's a classic.
Zena, that is literally on my list.
What's that? What's funny? Okay, all right. Now you have to share yours, please.
So I kept it light because I feel like when it comes to horror movies, you know, with the kills, we could probably be here forever.
Yeah.
So I tried to spread it around. Ghost Ship was on there because it's just so many at once, and it's really kind of the best part, or my favorite part of that movie. One fell swoop, gory, love it. And then I went with a more recent one, and that is from Hunter Hunter, which I believe should still be on Hulu. Ooh. And I won't spoil it because it's a very important one. Mm-hmm. Because the whole movie is this really slow burn survival thriller in the woods, and there's definitely a really not nice person involved. Mm-hmm. And where it ends is the type of death that you don't want to go in on an empty stomach, or on a full stomach, maybe go in on an empty stomach. It's really gnarly, and it's such a good way to close out that movie. Yeah. So it's one of the best deaths that I'm not going to talk about because spoilers. And then, you know, one of my all-time favorites is the one from the Blob remake with the first act of the, think that the football, the football player is going to be the hero. And then, you know, he gets a really gross demise at the end of the first act. So not only was the shock value of that kill great, but the practical effects of that, and just learning like this thing digests people alive. And that's a pretty painfully brutal way to go. So yeah, those are kind of the three that I went with.
Nice.
So yeah. And then we got another email from Amanda. Hi, Dark Trio. My name is Amanda. I'm a lifelong horror fan. I'd love to know what movies scared you as a kid, but now you look back and laugh. I love knowing what movies scare people. For me, Poltergeist 2 gave me endless sleepless nights. Keep spoopy. What did any movies terrify you, Zena, as a kid?
Yeah, of course. You know, but I guess I wanted to keep this one short since I went so long, lengthy with the other one. But this is another one I feel that could go on longer. But I'm going to say two. First one is Arachnophobia. That one scares the life out of me. Still to this day, I do not like spiders, anything creepy. I can't do it, you know. Just burn the house. Just take it. And then another one is actually a Disney movie. Don't Look Under the Bed from 1999. I loved it. I loved it and I would keep watching it, but it used to really, really scare the crap out of me. Okay. But what's yours?
So I have two. Both of them, I feel like I have similar experiences, and that I distinctly remember being a kid in broad daylight. These movies were on TV and I was terrified hiding behind the couch. Like the couch was going to be the buffer to save me from whatever's going to crawl. But it was Evil Dead 2, the part where his girlfriend crawls out from the grave and she's like, it's like stop motion animated, like a Barbie doll looking thing. And there was something about that as a kid that was just kind of uncanny valley like that just freaked me out. Now it's you know, it's a little bit humorous and it's not scary. But when I was a child, that was a lot. And then the other one, which is kind of similar, the Zuni doll from Trilogy of Terror.
Oh my God,
now,
yes.
Now, I have not seen it in a very long time, but I have to imagine that while that Zuni doll in Trilogy of Terror is probably still scary, like it's still a made-for-TV movie, so I'm not sure it would affect me near as bad.
That is so awesome. That one movie I did not watch as a kid. I watched it as an adult, I think. And I thought that doll was creepy.
But I would not be as terrified now to watch it. Like, I think the doll is still good, but you know.
Yeah.
70s movie made for TV. Probably aged, probably shows its age a little bit.
Yeah.
With that, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone. The podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things in the horror world and probably a lot more. It's more than just disgusting things.
Yeah.
And to help us digest the disgusting, you know her from her YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror, and her infinite love for the genre, Zena Dixon.
Hello.
Hello. And I'm Megan. And John's not here because he is probably living it up. Yeah, or heading home from living it up at Midsummer Scream this weekend. So maybe if you were there, you said hi. And if not, I'm sure he would tell us all about it next week. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope that your week has been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do our quick around the table for movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the two of us, because it's ladies' night. Ladies' night. I was gonna sing, but I'm like, we probably don't have royalty. We don't have permission, so never mind. Just make it up. But yeah, so maybe these things will make you smile too. So Zena, What's filling your heart this week?
Yay! Okay. It's either was going to be me or you.
It was me or you. Okay. People are going to get sick of hearing me, so you go.
Well, you know what? I just finished reading the psychological horror thriller, The Exorcist House by Nick Roberts. It came out last year. Did you read it?
I did not. I'm excited, though.
Okay. So this one follows a family to the Appalachian, I always struggle with that word, farmhouse, where they encounter unimaginable horror. So it takes place in the 90s, like the summer of 1994. There's a man named Daniel. He is a psychologist, and he just bought like this beautiful farmhouse. It's up in like West Virginia, up in the hills, very nature-like, beautiful land. He's married. His wife's name is Nora, and then they also have a teenage daughter named Alice, and the wife is expecting. And so, they moved from Ohio. They were living in a city, and they're moving out to the country. You know, they want like a fresh love, and they also want to flip the house and resell it and make a lot of money. Okay, so... but soon, you know, the family, you know, after they're, you know, I don't want to say they're intoxicated with the nature. It's just beautiful out there. The way it's written, you can just pretty much see it. The family absolutely loves the farmhouse. They're bonding. They're fixing it up. And then they discover in the basement, there is a hidden room that has crucifixes hanging from the wall. And there's a well that leads down somewhere. We don't know where. Clearly, it leads to hell.
How very Amityville.
Yes, very Amityville. Oh, my gosh. And then on top of that, there's like a local legend that the person who lived there before, he used to perform exorcisms. So there's that. And they find out like the day that they literally move in. This is like a familiar setup, you know, with the family that moves into a haunted house. But this has so much more than I ever wanted. Like, it just made my little horror heart flutter so much. I want to read everything that Nick Roberts writes. This is my first book that I read of his. There are genuine like parts that scared the crap out of me, especially there's this one scene that takes place in the basement and it was just unexpected, you know, and I was reading it in the dark, so I had to put the light on. I got a little freaked out, but I'll even say like this is probably one of the scariest books that I've read this year. So, but I love the slow buildup. And then when things gets, it's weird because something happens in the beginning, but then there's like a slow buildup, but it's so worth it because even though it's slow, there's still suspense. I found that I could not put this book down. You know, I absolutely loved it so much. So if you love things like possession, exorcism, haunted house, you know, the whole, you've seen the trope before, family, but new beginnings, family secrets, you know, I think that you'll enjoy this. There's like, there's a little bit of they go deep into the exorcism. There's like an occult type of thing going on. And, you know, just, I don't know, who can deny stories about demonic possession? I can't. Okay. So if you're a fan of that and you like 90s, like horror type of stuff, I feel like this would be a perfect read for you.
I am definitely buying that immediately after we are done here recording. But
And we have to talk about it. Like, I loved it. Like, I'll tell you off air the reason why I read it and stuff like that. But book wise, I am so late to the party. So I checked out They Clone Tyrone from 2023. It just came out this year on Netflix like 2 weeks ago. And I'm kind of cheating, but it's still like a blaxploitation. There's sci-fi, there's thriller, there's mystery, there's comedy.
There you go. Genre bender. It counts. Yeah,
okay. There's some dead bodies in there somewhere. It's not a spoiler.
So, you got to look for them, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. So in an eerie series of events leads to an unlikely trio down a rabbit hole into a sinister neighborhood conspiracy. My goodness. I really, really enjoyed this movie. Again, it's a wild blend of like blaxploitation, sci-fi, thriller, mystery, comedy, and it touches on like modern cultural issues. And the leads, John Boyega, Jamie Foxx, and Tiana Paris, their performances, like literally like perfection, you know, it's perfection. I it's very captivating, and this is probably one of like this year's most clever, captivating stories for me. I seriously loved everything about it. Like, I just could not get enough of it. So if you want to watch something that's new. You know, there's some humor in it. There's some dark stuff in it. It'll have you thinking. This is definitely like a conversation starter, because I actually watched this in a group and yeah, everybody just could not stop talking about it. So yeah,
I love that. I almost watched this yesterday. I was looking for something to watch and I almost watched this, but then I decided, because everybody on social media was gushing about Twisted Metal, and I was like, I need a comedy, that sounds fun. So I started that. But yeah, this now I gotta bump this on the list, like bump it up. So yeah,
okay. But what about you?
So do you ever shop at Diabolique DVD online?
I do.
So they are really good about basically having anything that you could possibly want, you know, gathered together, instead of you shopping at like Second Sight and Screen Back. Mm-hmm. You could get it all at Diabolique. And anyways, they usually have pretty good sales every once in a while, especially the restaurant video label releases. So I picked this up. I don't think I'd ever seen it before. My best friend is a vampire. Yeah, 1987's My Best Friend is a Vampire. They had it on like really low sale, so I've snatched that up as a blind purchase on Blu-ray. And this one is a teenager's best friend delivers groceries to a mansion and is bitten by its vampire mistress. Therefore, he starts turning into a vampire. It is a comedy. And I feel like, was this the same year or maybe the year before as Vamp? Because there's a few buddy vampire comedies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, spoiler alert, I love Vamp more. But this is fun. And the reason why it's fun, and I feel like you can relate to this, but do you ever watch a horror movie and you don't realize until you're watching it that it takes place in your hometown?
That's never happened to me.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So, I feel like, well, we're... I guess New York, maybe. Probably not Florida as much, yeah. But I feel like they, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Well,
so, you know, the opening credits are pretty early on, basically at the start of the movie. These teen boys are driving through and I recognize the skyline. I'm like, wait a minute. But then they cut, you know, it makes you realize movie magic, because they're cruising along and it cuts to the downtown skyline and I'm recognizing the building, but then it'll cut to the other side of the car and it's just open grass. And I'm like, where are you filming? Because I should be looking at more city and I'm not. And that's just movie magic, because then I'm looking at, you know, it takes place at Milton High School, which is really Milby High School, which is, you know, closer to 610, you know, closer to LaPorte. That's some serious kind of inside baseball for Houstonians. So sorry. But yeah, it was really cool to see a lot of late 80s Houston. And so this kid is becoming a vampire and he doesn't understand it. And this guy shows up and he's trying to show him the ropes of being a vampire. And he tells him to go get blood from Whole Foods, from like the butcher. And I'm like, that is such a rich vampire thing to do, to shop at Whole Foods, because teens should be getting their blood from like Walmart. We can't afford that. I don't even think I could afford it from Whole Foods now. But yeah, it's really cute. It's definitely way more comedy than horror, but it's cute. It's charming. I think I was more taken by like, oh my gosh, I recognize Houston. And that's part of why I love like Sugar Hill, because that's a Houston movie. I love it because, you know, she's a queen and she has impeccable fashion and, you know, do your revenge, queen. I love that. But yeah, like that, I feel like there's a few other Houston movies. Oh, The Lamp is so wacky, but that one's another one that's a little bit special because, you know, I see my city in that.
Aww.
So that's what I watched. And then I also, Fantasia is still going. And so I checked out The Sacrifice Game, which will be coming to Shudder later this year. No date yet. So I'm sure we'll talk about it again once that's out. But that is from director Jen Wexler, who did The Ranger. She co-wrote that with her husband, Sean Redlitz, which I think is adorable. And this is a very Xena movie. It is a very Xena movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. I feel like this one could be requisite like holiday viewing for me, like put that in the rotation. But it's basically a couple of students at Black Veil Boarding School for Girls. They get left behind for the holiday. They're left with a chaperone and the chaperone's boyfriend because they can't go home for the holidays. And, you know, murderous cult gang arrives to yes. So it's teen horror and it's a home invasion that completely gets flipped on its head. I thought I knew where it was going to go based on the premise, and then it takes some surprising turns that I didn't anticipate. But Xena, it was made for you for all of these reasons, but there is a literal Night of the Demons homage that is pure
what?
You in there. Yeah.
Did they That's make this movie for me?
Maybe I feel like, yeah, well, I'm pretty sure Jen Wexler made it for her teen self, but you are also part of that. So teen you and teen Jen Wexler would have definitely been BFFs. Maybe you still could be BFFs, but yeah, it's definitely a Xena movie. And I thought it was really sweet and really fun and had a lot of surprising turns I wasn't anticipating. So it's not, nice. It's not as familiar as I thought it would be. And it was a blast. So, yeah, before we move on, what did we watch read and where?
Sure. So I read The Exorcist House. You can find that on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million. And then also I checked out They Cloned Tyrone on Netflix.
I watched My Best Friend is a Vampire. I got it on Blu-ray and Sacrifice Game at Fantasia, but it will be out on Shudder later this year. I'm going to have to corral my cat in a second. So yeah, and no homework for John because he's not here to take assignments, but yeah. He's here in spirit because I said so. So yeah, enough of what we've been watching this week. It's time for the news. Are you tired of my voice yet?
No, we love it.
So I picked this for you because I have a hunch that you will be going and reporting back on this. But the countdown begins. We're about to be, by the time this episode drops, it will be August, which means we are definitely right around the corner from Halloween season, the best time of the year. So the countdown begins for Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Orlando Resort in Universal Studios Hollywood, as the destinations have been announced for all of the houses, scare zones, all of that stuff. I won't break down everything because it's a lot, but I will run down some of the main highlights. And that is an Exorcist Believer house inspired by the new Universal Pictures film from Blumhouse and Morgan Creek Entertainment, Chucky Ultimate Kill Count based on the popular USA and sci-fi series, and Universal Monsters Unmasked inspired by obviously the iconic cinematic monsters from Universal. The Exorcist Believer Haunted House will unleash an entirely new level of terror to Halloween Horror Nights. You'll find out and let me know if that's true.
I will.
And this new chapter, guests will be transported to a bustling street market in Haiti, where an innocent purchase of a strange folk doll with three eyes leads to the opening of a demonic portal, the awakening of sinister spirits, and the subsequent disappearance of two 12-year-old girls in the U.S. They're found 3 days later with no memory of what happened to them. And then they begin exhibiting unsettling behavior, and it becomes clear that only an exorcist can save them. So, yeah, that's going to be ahead of the October 13th movie release. So maybe that will give you some insight to the movie.
Okay.
I'm really excited. I might have to figure out a way to go for Chucky Ultimate Kill Count. Yes. The killer doll is the star of his own haunted house. Because I feel like, how many years have you been going?
This will be my third year. Yeah.
Because I feel like he's always a presence, right? In some way.
He's always there somehow.
Now he gets his own house finally. It's his first time getting a house. So he's been mired in the agony of disrespect he feels from his peers at not being taken seriously. Thus, he begins his quest to turn his haunted house into a living slaughterhouse by killing every person who enters. Whoa. Dun, dun, dun. So yeah, I didn't get the synopsis for the Universal Monsters Unmasked, but they usually do a really good job of mashing them together into gorgeous setting. So yeah, did you look over to see what's coming and make your plans?
Not yet. I plan to do that this week. It's gearing up for a spooky season. Jesus, it's upon us.
I know. Oh my gosh. And that feels like a good transition to be like, no one will save you. That's our next movie. Writer director Brian Duffield had a really busy 2020. He wrote Underwater, which we love. He wrote Love and Monsters, which we also love. And then he wrote and directed Spontaneous, which we love. And that gets us all in the feels. And then earlier this year, Duffield delivered animated series Skull Island for Netflix. So he's been very busy in the monster realm. And up next from him is a new movie titled No One Will Save You. This one stars Caitlin Dever. The sci-fi psychological thriller begins streaming on Hulu on September 22nd. And he tweeted as kind of like a preface, which I thought was funny. If you wanted a movie where a bunch of grays try to abduct Caitlin Dever and she keeps being like, no, thank you, we made that movie. So I kind of feel like the actual synopsis gives you more intel, but it's not nearly as cute as that. Yet No One Will Save You introduces Bryn Adams, a creative and talented young woman who's been alienated from her community. Lonely but ever hopeful, Bryn finds solace within the walls of the home where she grew up until she's awakened one night by strange noises from decidedly unearthly intruders. What follows is an action-packed face-off between Bryn and a host of extraterrestrial beings who threaten her future while forcing her to deal with her past. So, yeah. Are you a fan of alien invasion or alien abduction?
I've been trying to dive into it more, and I'm just completely sold on it.
Yeah. What are the odds that this was in the works and then it's like, P.S. aliens are real?
Yeah. Maybe he knew.
He knew. Duffield knows monsters. So yeah, and then I saved probably the buzziest headline for last. I wonder if John's gonna have to answer for a lot when he gets back. Was he at the panel for this? Inquiring minds wanna know. But the official trailer for Saw X, Saw 10. It debuted during a panel on Saturday at Midsummer Scream, and then made its way online soon after. Saw 10, because I can't say Saw X without thinking socks. It's going to be the longest movie in the franchise, which means that it's longer than the 1 hour, 48 minute runtime of Saw 3. That's some trivia for you. It was made clear during the event that this is very much Jigsaw's movie. John is the protagonist in this movie. This is John Kramer's story as a human, producer Oren Coles noted. Set between the events of Saw 1 and 2, I think it's Saw 2 and 3 that it's set between, yeah. A sick and desperate John travels to Mexico for a risky and experimental medical procedure in hopes of a miracle cure for his cancer, only to discover the entire operation is a scam to defraud the most vulnerable. The infamous killer returns to his work, turning the tables on the con artists in his signature visceral way through devious, deranged, and ingenious traps. Lionsgate's going to unleash Saw 10 in theaters on September 29th. This got bumped up a little bit from its October release date. I avoided mentioning certain things in the trailer. I know you are I don't want to watch trailers, and I'm sure you are hardly alone. But I am very excited by what I saw. It does look very much like a return to those earlier Saw movies. And then, I don't know, did you keep up with any like Midsummer happenings over the weekend?
I did. And I was so jealous that people were able to see I would have watched it then if I was there, you know, obviously. But I did see some screenshots from the trailer.
Okay.
I don't know if I should say it because that might be a spoiler.
I kind of avoid because there's some return appearances. But I was curious if you saw pictures.
It looks good.
It does. And did you see, because they had a whole display, I guess, the whole weekend before and after the panel of a trap that looks pretty gnarly. So, yeah, I'm excited. All right, listeners, your turn. What kind of traps are you hoping for? Is it pronounced Saw X, Saw 10, or Socks?
Socks.
Socks. So, yeah, you can call, text, or email us. The number is in the show notes, but it's also 224-475-1040. You can email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail. Send us the cues. And finally, Zeta is going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in on what's been or what will be appearing soon and what we should watch.
Well, sure. Yeah, we have a pretty packed week. So first up, this by the time this episode comes out, this will be out already. This is coming on Screenbox tomorrow, August 1st. Ghastly Brothers. This one is described as Ghostbusters meets Beetlejuice. In this horror comedy, Lilith is sent to boarding school where she meets the Ghastly Brothers, a pair of strange ghost hunters. Together, they need to rid the school of demons who have made it their home. Doesn't that sound so cute?
It does sound cute. Yeah. What a cute name, too. The Ghastly Brothers.
Yeah. And then on Thursday, the 3rd, we have Zom 100, Bucket List of Dead. This will be available on Netflix. Bullied by his boss, worked around the clock, he's nothing more than a corporate drone. All it takes is a zombie outbreak for him to finally feel alive. I can relate in some way. I mean, I'd probably die, but okay. And then on August 4th, on Friday, we have Meg 2, The Trench. It'll be hitting theaters. So in this one, a research team encounters multiple threats while exploring the depths of the ocean, including a malicious mining operation. We also have Till Death Do Us Part. This one will also be available in theaters. After bailing on her wedding, a former bride-to-be must fight off her ex-groom and 7 angry killer groomsmen in order to survive the night. That sounds pretty awesome. Whoa.
Dun, dun, dun.
Then also on Friday, we have Ear of the Witch. This will be on VOD. An underprivileged seamstress haunted by her past seeks love and acceptance in a high society, but is faced with the curse from her evil roots. And then on Tuesday the 8th, Zombieverse Season 1 will be available on Netflix. This seems so cool! Okay, I'm so excited about this. In Seoul, Korea, where a zombie virus outbreak has run amok, who will outwit the undead in the face of challenging quests and come out alive? So this is a reality series, and we're going to be able to check it out. I'm so excited.
Would you want to be a contestant? If it was zombie apocalypse or invasion, would that be less stressful?
No, but I would still love to be a contestant. Like, I was that kid that was afraid of tag. I was stressed, you know, the playground, you know? So, but yeah, I would rather be it, try to catch people. But
you would be a zombie then?
I would want to be a zombie, yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, but this seems like it's going to be a blast. And then also we have The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster. If you loved it, you'll be able to own it on DVD. The Passenger will be available on VOD. Randy is perfectly content to fade into the background, but when one of his co-workers go on a sudden and violent rampage, he must face his fears and confront his troubled past. Summoning the Spirit will also be on VOD. Someone described this one as Midsommar meets Bigfoot. True.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so Carla and Dean, as they decide to escape the hustle of the big city, purchasing a home in a remote forest. They have big plans for their new quiet life, only to find something much more sinister that involves, Bigfoot and a cult. Then we have Wolf Hollow. This will be available on VOD. A group of filmmakers on a location scout stumbles across a den of werewolves. And finally, we have The Thing Behind the Door. This is another one that will be on VOD. A young woman is haunted by the death of her husband. Unable to accept the tragic loss, she turns to black magic in hopes of bringing him back to life. And of course, you know, Bloody Disgusting. That's what I was going to say.
This is what happens when I'm like, socks.
Oh my God. Bloody Disgusting TV is available. And also Screenbox, but you can call it Bloody Disgusting if you want to.
Bloody Disgusting. That's adorable. But you have to say it like that. Disgusting. That's so funny. And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. You can read, obviously, my stuff over at bloodydisgusting.com or follow me on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Zeta can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Zena on Twitter. Or, you know, which I'll plug in just a minute, but if you're not following Bloody Disgusting on TikTok to see more awesome Zena content, do that. John is not here, but you can hear him on his weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. See, we still plug yourself, horror
always.
Sisters. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out all things bloody Disgusting on TikTok at Be Disgusting. See, I'm going to replug it to make sure you guys get on that. So yeah, for this week, I'm Megan.
I'm Zena.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Thank you for coming to our coming. We would attend. Thank you for listening to our first ladies' night. I feel like this was, wasn't it? It wasn't long enough. We need more questions.
I mean,
John, stay away.
If you want. I mean, I can tell you about some other stuff that I watched.
I guess you'll have to tune in next week. So in the meantime, grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.